Hello, welcome to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. And let me begin by first thanking you folks for over 2,000 downloads in the last month of my text material, my audios, and my videos. And so I'm very excited about that, and I hope it continues. If you're interested in getting a download of this message, text, audio, or video, then go to PastorVic.com or PastorVicNuggets.com, and it's all free and available to you. Let me just take a moment to review the last post that we did. And in that post, we said that we recognize that, or it's important for us to recognize that our Father is God. Now, I realize that all of humanity are the children of God, and that's because God created everyone. But as believers in Jesus Christ, we have the position as sons and daughters, and as such, we inherit the promises of God. We also said last time that as a result of our position as sons, we have access to the throne room of God. Isn't that exciting? We are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. And that our salvation means that God's Holy Spirit dwells within us. And so these are things that we always have to remind ourselves of that truth. Because as a result of the Holy Spirit and the supernatural power and authority that are available to us to fulfill God's ministry, mission, or assignment. You see, this means that we are anointed for service. And that anointing is not just for special individuals, but we are all anointed for service in one way or another. Jesus Christ purchased your position as a son. His death on Calvary's cross and his resurrection opened up a door into a new covenant. And that new covenant describes our new relationship with the Father and the fact that all things are new and all things are possible because of him. Now today, I want to talk a little bit about purpose. Your purpose in the Lord and your purpose in life. Now, I'm sure you're aware that this is an extremely popular and important topic in Christian circles. Everyone is concerned about identifying their purpose as Christians. Now, I think that the confusion occurs when we're trying to separate two closely related terms. When we talk about purpose and we talk about the work that we do. In human terms, we often think of these two concepts as being the same. But to the Lord, these two terms, purpose and work, are not the same. In God's eyes, purpose has to do with how you exist in your relationship with him. And that is a spiritual purpose. Your purpose is to recognize the Father's love towards you. The love of God and the grace of God gives you the privilege of walking with God, God the Father, in the position of a son. This is your spiritual purpose, to have fellowship with him, to draw close to him, to hear his voice. Now your work or your assignment or your mission has to do with how you live your life for him in the world. Your assignment or the work that you do demonstrates your love for the Father. Remember, obedience to the Lord always produces a blessing. Now, again, God's love. He's demonstrated it by sending Jesus Christ for you. Your reasonable response should be to fulfill the assignment or the work that he has given you out of a grateful spirit. But at the same time, it's important to do the first things first. In other words, as an example, you build a foundation before you build a house on top of it, because the foundation has to support the house. The foundation is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The work that you do for him and through him and with him is the house that you build on that foundation. See, there's a spiritual purpose, and then there is a natural purpose. The spiritual has to do with relationship. The natural has to do with the assignment, if you will, that you have on earth as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, here's a question to think about. As a Christian, how do you see yourself? So much of who we are and what we do is based upon how we see ourselves. Now, if I see myself as the world sees me, if I see myself as the devil sees me, then I might not have a very good opinion of myself. As a result, I may make poor choices and decisions because I believe that I'm not good enough for anything else. This negative view causes me to be unable to see the value the Lord places on me, the value that God places upon you. You see, if I dwell on my past mistakes and my sin, then I might be persuaded to try and earn or do things to deserve what the Lord has done for me. But see, in either case, I have the wrong perspective of my relationship with the Lord. Let me warn you, this is exactly what the devil wants you to think. Satan wants you to think that you must make yourself worthy of God's love. And this is the trap that many fall into. The Apostle Paul says in Colossians 2, verse 8, beginning in verse 8, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." And then it goes on, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And verse 10 is key. "And you are complete in him." You have everything that you need because of Christ in you, who is the head of all principality and power. Listen, through Jesus Christ, you are loved, you are forgiven, you are accepted. Now, this may sound strange, but you can't be more loved or more forgiven or more accepted than you are right now. And that's because you didn't earn or deserve any of this, but it was purchased for you by our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, you are a son or daughter of the Lord, and sons and daughters have a special place and position in the kingdom of God. And that's on earth and in heaven. Now, all of this good news means that when we serve the Lord, we do so out of a sense of gratitude and joy, never out of fear. We don't serve the Lord out of fear. We don't serve the Lord out of guilt. And we don't serve the Lord because we are now slaves to him. Jesus was sent on a mission. And Jesus was sent on the mission by the Father. It's very clear in the scriptures that his mission was to destroy the works of the devil. One place it says that is in 1 John 3:8. Now you and I, we're called to the Great Commission. And that is to make disciples. Now I want you to take a close look at the word commission. It has two parts, com, C-O-M, and mission. The prefix com means to be with or together in association completely. And the word mission means assignment. So a commission then means that we are called together with Jesus to be a part of his mission. And his mission is to destroy the works of the enemy of our soul. Now think about this question. Can you do this mission alone in your own strength and ability? Of course not, because part of it is spiritual. And you need that spiritual anointing, the power and authority of the Holy Spirit in your life. And you and I, we need the help of Christ working in us through the Holy Spirit to accomplish the mission or the assignment. Now, of course, what gives us hope and builds our faith is the knowledge that the Lord God loves us. In a sense, God loves us in the same way that we love our children. As parents, we love our children because they're our children, not because of what they can do for us. You know, if you have a prodigal son or a daughter, you understand the unconditional love you have for your children. And this is the same agape or unconditional love the Father has for you. It's not because of what you do. Now, certainly there's a proper place for work and effort and accomplishment by our children. But what they do does not change the value of our children to us. In the same way, you're never going to have the confidence in your relationship with God and the assignment or the mission that he's called you to until you recognize God's love for you and how much he values you. Look, here's some further evidence of your value to God. Listen to what Peter the Apostle has to say about your value to the Lord in 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. And he says the following, "But you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have mercy." And then again, in one of the most quoted scriptures of the Bible, we hear the words of Jesus. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And of course, that was John 3, 16 and 17. So it's clear from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation that the Father's purpose throughout human history has been to redeem, restore, and reconcile humanity to himself. Redeem means to take back. Restore means to bring back to original condition. And reconcile means to make the relationship whole. Now, understanding our purpose in Christ settles our eternal destiny, of course. But what about our earthly destiny? How are we to live our lives here on earth? From the very beginning, we were created to worship God and have fellowship with him. Two things, to worship him and to have fellowship with him. Now, many Christians look at worship as something separate from everyday life and is done in church. But I want to tell you that worship is more than music. Worship is more than singing. Worship is more than dancing unto the Lord. More importantly, worship is a lifestyle of commitment to the promises of God. Romans 12:1 says the following, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." And so we are called to be a living sacrifice, a living sacrifice that is holy. We've been set apart. That's what holy means, to be set apart. Acceptable to God, meaning that we are operating and working in righteousness, doing the right things in God's eyes. And then he says, which is your reasonable service. Many translations don't say reasonable service. It says, this is your reasonable worship. See, normally something that is sacrificed, and we're called to be a sacrifice, but normally a sacrifice is dead. But we're called to be a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice whose own personal will has been laid down and replaced by the desire to do the Father's will, God's will. Our life lived in sacrifice to God's purposes is an act of worship to him. As Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but your will be done." Jesus is our example. Not only are we called to live a life of worship unto the Lord, but we're also called to fellowship with him. How amazing that is. Fellowship means that we walk in close relationship with our Lord. Fellowship means that we're involved in a regular two-way communication with him. And the key to any successful relationship is not just communication, but meaningful two-way communication. God speaking to us and we speaking to him. Many people will call that prayer, but so often with prayer, it's a one-way conversation. We pray, we make our petitions known to him, but we never take the time to listen to get instruction from him. We've never taken the time to learn to hear his voice, as he speaks to us through the scriptures, or to hear his voice as he brings those verses back to us in the form of a rhema word by the Holy Spirit. I believe that God wants to communicate his heart to us. God wants to communicate his will to us. God wants to empower us by His Holy Spirit to be vessels co-laboring with the mission that Jesus had. Jesus' mission was to destroy the works of the enemy. And so God has given us that charge, that responsibility. The great commission is about making disciples, but it's also about making disciples who will also co-labor with the Lord in destroying the works of the enemy. And so we'll have more to talk about the next time, but that's it for today. And I just want to encourage you that begin to realize that the Great Commission is about you fulfilling the mission that Jesus was given, and that you do it with Him, and you do it just as Jesus did, with the power of the Holy Spirit in operation. Jesus began His ministry after He was baptized, after He was filled with the Holy Spirit, after He began to demonstrate the power and the authority that He had because of the Holy Spirit in Him. That was called the anointing. You have that same anointing. God bless you. See you the next time.